13 Days of Halloween is from Grim and Mild, Blumhouse, and iHeart 3D Audio. Headphones recommended. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome to Dottie's. Grab a seat anywhere.
Thank you.
You gonna want coffee?
Yes, two, please.
I'll put on a pot.
This seems nice.
Mm-hmm.
What?
We're not going to order anything here. If you're hungry, we can find food elsewhere.
That's fine. But why?
Take a look at the cook.
Uh-huh.
That's Gus. No matter what our waitress says, don't trust his cooking. Before he came here, he was a well-renowned chef. People came from all over to eat his food. He had quite the following. A series of cookbooks, interviews with all the major papers. His own line of pasta sauces. He was well on his way to being a very wealthy chef.
What happened?
Well, he moved into a very large house in a very fancy neighborhood. His neighbors loved him. He threw lavish parties, large barbecues, elaborate brunches, you know. His Christmas parties were legendary. So I've heard. And come Halloween, there was always a flood of costumed children outside of his door. You see, he made his own confections. All kinds. But a tawdry scandal at one of his restaurants called something of a fall from grace, and he ended up having to shutter his doors. After that, it was a domino effect. His cookbooks quit selling, he lost his agent, he became a pariah. And with his good fortune, went his mind. He became paranoid that his neighbors were whispering behind his back. He quit throwing parties, no more brunches, barbecues. His house went dark. Except for Halloween. For Halloween, he decorated lavishly. The neighborhood children were overjoyed. Once more, they lined up to receive his famous candies, and one by one, they grew violently ill. By midnight, dozens of children in the ER, their mouths shredded by the razor blades he'd placed in the candy. When the authorities went to get him, he was gone, on the run. The road led him here.
Does everyone know this?
Mm-hmm, they do.
Why don't they arrest him?
The chief loves his corned beef hash. Like I said, he is an excellent chef.
Hello, Mother.
Hello.
Here's your coffee. Who's your friend?
Someone I picked up on the beach.
You're not from around here. You have something on your mind, I can tell. I can always tell. Mind if I slide in? I know that look. It's okay. Take a moment to glance over the menu first, then we'll talk. Pay no attention to Gus over there at the grill. He hates being here. We all do. But don't worry. The food is fine. Not like those fancy diner chains, but it's good. Except for the desserts. Please, don't order pie, okay? For the love of all that's good and holy, do not order the pie. Sorry. It's been a long shift. A really long shift. My aunt was a waitress once. Started out in a little place just like this one. She also made pies. Before long, everyone wanted them. Within a year, she quit and opened her own shop. Orders came in from everywhere. Soon her pies were in stores and restaurants across the country. Yet she still lived in her little cottage. Sure, she fixed it up some, but she insisted on saving every dollar, even though she had a lot of money. She never married and had no kids. That bakery and those pies were her whole life. Anyway, just don't order the pie, okay? I'm a little touchy about pie. Now, about your problem. Well, of course I know, honey. That secret of yours is juicier than Gus's burgers. Well, most things are, but I digress. If you don't confess, you can't leave. Not the diner, but Dyerbrook. Everyone else passes right through. No one stays here. Not willingly. Especially not after sunset. Oh, sure, you might think you're just visiting some old-time picture postcard New England fishing town. Pretty, if you like gray skies and salty air. It's like a lot of places, small towns that draw you in with quaint shops that take you back to a quieter, less hurried time. And that's how it happens. Once the sun sets, fog rolls in from the woods, bringing all sorts of things with it. It's important that you tell us what you did before then. Or you'll be stuck here forever. Of course I tried to leave. I tried walking, driving, hitchhiking, nothing worked. I'd get close to the town limits and black out, poof. Then I'd wake up in another area of Dyerbrook. Some parts are worse than others. And after a while, I quit trying. This place, it's not normal. There are lots of telephone lines, but they don't work. As you've noticed, there's no cell phone reception either. And no internet. Mail never leaves the post office and nothing comes in. I've given notes to people passing through in the hopes I'll be rescued, but nothing comes of it. I think people forget the moment they leave town. I don't know what happens to the notes, but I know you did something. We all do. The couple sharing a peach cobbler in the booth by the window. The man eating blueberry pie at the counter who keeps glancing your way. He only eats blueberry, and when he smiles, the stains on those teeth of his. Anyway, keeping quiet, eh? I did too. But she saw right through me, same as I do you. I stopped in for lunch, sat in that booth right over there. I noticed her right away, though I can't say why, maybe because her stormy gray hair and eyes matched the town's mood. I'd just taken a sip of coffee when she slid onto the seat across from me. Thought maybe she was a grifter or wanted me to pay her tab. There were plenty of other tables, so I started to slide out of the booth when she said, "Your aunt made the best pies." Then she leaned forward and whispered, "Go ahead, tell me what you did." I told myself she was crazy. Kind of like what you're thinking right now. Except you're a little scared, too. Honey, we're all hiding something but you. I can see it on your face. I look in your eyes and I might as well be looking into a mirror. You're not going to talk, are you? Fine then. Maybe if I go first. My aunt and I went hiking whenever she wasn't working herself to death. She'd pick certain things to add to her salads or stews. She'd point out which mushrooms, leaves, or berries were safe to eat and others that might kill you. whatever. Seemed like too much of a risk to me. If I wanted produce, I went to the store. One night, I stopped by for dinner, but she didn't answer the door or the phone. I had a key and let myself in. I found her on the living room floor, unable to move. Her eyes bulged from her pale face, and she gasped for air over and over. I dialed 911. The paramedics didn't arrive in time. I was very cooperative, told them she had a heart condition. I also told them she spent the morning foraging for delicacies to include in our dinner. Did you know that water hemlock looks like something a florist uses? It's deadly, though. They found pieces of it in the bowl of salad she'd made. As her only family, I inherited everything. I sold it all, including the company. Then I bought a new Mercedes and headed east. New start, new life. I planned on doing all the living my aunt never did. Then I stopped here. The woman with the gray hair said, "Confess, or you'll spend your life in hell." Well, I thought the same as you. I'd worry about consequences after I died. Hindsight, right? Okay. I've got to tell you something. I have this theory. I think hell has been on Earth all this time, hiding in plain sight in little pass-through towns where you stop to fill the gas tank or pee or maybe grab something to eat. Tyrebrook is one of those places. Look, I don't warn everyone. Sure, you can do what I did, do a little dine and dash without the dining part. But you're not just going to be able to leave here. First time I tried, the Mercedes got a flat about a mile from here. Coincidence, right? Under my breath, I admitted that when I found my aunt, I sat on the floor for a while before calling 911. There. I'd confessed. Sort of. Not that I believed that woman, but muttering it couldn't hurt. Then I tried calling for roadside assistance and my cell wouldn't work. I told the truth, even if no one heard me. But I hadn't told all of it. So I made another roadside confession. I hid my aunt's cell phone. Now you might ask why I'd hide her phone after we got back from hiking. I wouldn't have told you the truth, not then. I tried hitchhiking out of town next. Thought I might make it when I saw the sign that read, "Leaving Dire Rock, see you soon." That's when I noticed what lay beyond the sign. Nothing. No trees, no road. Just a bank of thick fog, like the other times I blacked out and woke up alone in the woods. You don't want to know what's in the woods. I ran, just ran. My aunt's last words echoed in my head, or had it come from the fog. "I know what you did." I broke down and told the truth. I picked water hemlock leaves and mixed them with edible plants she put in her basket. She always had salad for lunch. The poison wouldn't take long, but it wouldn't do if she called for help. So I hid her phone. The only way out of town was to confess. I screamed it to the heavens.
"Yes, I did it. I poisoned my aunt. I killed her."
The fog lifted, and I made it back to the road. But my confession had come too late. The sun had already set. Now I'm here for who knows how long, years, the rest of my natural life, all of eternity, serving up hamburgers and shakes instead of living it up at a beach house. And the worst part? Regulars come and ask pie. eyes, day in and day out. Hell is right here on Earth. If you don't confess by dark, you'll be stuck in Dyrebrook too, forever. So what'll it be? From the menu, of course. While you wait for your order, we'll talk. Don't be shy. Confess. It's good for the soul.
Just the coffee for us. Thank you.
Suit yourself, but you're missing out. Gus is a hell of a cook. His corned beef hash is famous around here.
But thank you. No.
All right, hun. Here's your check. Have a great day now.
It just says confess.
Well, she'll just have to settle for money, won't she? Come, let's drink our coffee as we walk. It'll warm your bones faster that way.
Are we allowed to take the mugs?
They always make their way back. Come on.
You two take care now. Father bless.
Everything returns to him. And look, the wind off the water has blown the morning fog away. The sunlight is so pale at this time of year, like it barely has the energy to shine. Shall we? There's still so much to see and the doctor to visit.
Yes.
Excellent. Onward. Upward.
Tomorrow on 13 Days of Halloween, the church.
The nets stay full of fish, of crab and squid, not simply because they're cast out into the sea, but because of the offerings I leave to dry here, because of the good work I am pledged to give. Every cycle, every new moon, I write our stories here on the stones, just as generations of pastors have before me. We have smoothed these walls with whale fat and warm blood. We clean with salt from the sea. My family tree has deep roots here beneath the foundation of this church. We've always been here, in the space between the people and the demon.
Thirteen Days of Halloween, The Diner. Starring Kathy Najimy, Bethany Ann Lind, and Adrian Epley. Written by Michelle Muto, with additional material by Nicholas Tikoski. Sound design and mixing by Josh Thane. Engineering by Violet Furton, Dubway Studios, New York. Casting by Jessica Luza. Created by Matt Frederick and Alex Williams, with executive producer Aaron Mankey. A production of iHeartRadio, Grim and Mild, and Blumhouse Television.